Let's take a trip down memory lane with Niagara County's Great History Show. Now, here's your host, Norm Palmer.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show this morning. Another beautiful sunshine-filled morning in Western New York. With me today, the Executive Director of the Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her co-conspirator over there, Anne-Marie Linneberry. I call her the storyteller. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning, Norm.
And it looks like fall is in the air. As our temperatures are falling, the leaves are also falling, and a lot of other things are also falling. Still feeling the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic going around, so I imagine the History Center is also affected.
Yes, we are affected, but for a minute there, I thought you were talking about age. Well, I think it's hard for every business and nonprofit at this time because people are very conservative of what they're doing. And, of course, we don't have many visitors or customers in the gift shop or things like that. So, you know, we're just kind of coasting until next year, hoping that we are going to get a vaccine and that things will get better.
But let's let the folks know you are open.
Oh, we are open. We
the
are
History
open,
Center is open.
Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, but we only have the main building open. So right now there is the Niagara Arts Guild is bringing a brand new art exhibit in. So people would be able to come in and see that. They could see the orientation film that we have in the orientation room, and that's got some interesting photos and other exhibits in it and a timeline of Niagara County in the hallway. We're going to have a new exhibit about Belleville Lockwood that Anne-Marie's going to explain a little. So there are things to see there. But the Discovery Center is open until the end of the month every day. And that's open 9 to 5. And that has the 15-minute movie, Gateways East and West. It has all sorts of interactive exhibits and really the best explanation of how the locks were built by the staff that's there. And because it's one building, they're able to do the cleaning and everything that is sufficient. So it's, you know, good for COVID so that people can come in and see it. So we are open. Of course, the staff has been working all along, but we actually were able to do some projects that we normally couldn't do because without having people in the outbuildings at 215 Niagara Street, we were able to pull out a lot of collection items that we haven't. Like one example was we have a lot of Native American basketry, and we thought maybe about 15, and turned out it was 42 by the time we pulled everything out. So we're pulling out and organizing things that normally we can't when there's people walking through.
Now, the requirement for most public places is a mask, so I would imagine masks are required at the History Center.
In fact,
folks,
we wear masks all day.
That's all you need, mask and your entry fee to get in, and to go at the History Center.
We're not even really charging an entry fee right now because they're only going through one building. There isn't the Discovery Center because that's fully functioning, but at 215... we're just happy to see you.
So if you need something to do, just go over to the History Center and see the great history of Niagara County and the two ladies that are on the show once a month to tell you what is happening. Anne-Marie, you have a big event coming up.
Well, we're currently in the process of putting together an exhibit on Belleville Lockwood. I'm sure most people here in Niagara County know about Belleville Lockwood, but I'll just quickly give you a little bit of background. Belleville Lockwood was born in Royalton in 1830, and she actually taught school here in the Royalton area and also at the Lockport Union School before she went on to move to Washington, D.C. in the 1860s. And she studied law at Law School, National University in Washington. She earned her law degree and became a lawyer. And then for 5 years, she fought for the right to argue cases in the United States Supreme Court. And finally, in 1879, she was granted that right. And she was the first woman to be able to try cases in the United States Supreme Court. And then 5 years later, in 1884, she was the first woman to run for the presidency of the United States, whose name was actually on the ballot and who actually gained votes. She earned about 4,000 votes in 1884. And if you consider the fact that at that time it was only men who could vote, so 4,000 men voted for her. She ran again in 1888, but did not receive quite as many votes, did not run again after that. But she was also very much involved in the women's suffrage movement and also in the international peace movement. So she died in 1917. She was almost 87 years old when she died, just 6 months before women got the right to vote in New York State and 3 years before women got the right to vote in the federal elections. So, but a very remarkable woman, and right here in, from Niagara County in Royalton and Lockport.
Okay. Wow.
I missed. Did you say she was the first to argue a case in front of the Supreme Court?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I did say that.
Sorry. That's okay. I was reading, and I don't hear when I read.
So so our curator, Terry Abrams, is putting together an exhibit on Belva's life and career. And in conjunction with that, we are doing a series of six presentations about Belva and her, again, her life, her career. We're doing them via Zoom. Because of the COVID-19 problem. So yesterday we actually had the first one, myself and Jean Neff, who's a retired museum educator, but also doing programs independently now. We did a program on Belva Lockwood as an educator, a pioneer educator here in Niagara County. But next week we have our next program, which is going to be on Tuesday, October 20th at 2 p.m., and it is going to be Sally Rosh Wagner, who is the executive director of the Matilda Gage Foundation, which is, I believe, in Chittenango, Chittenango. And she is going to be speaking on the Haudenosaunee and the women's rights movement. The Haudenosaunee, of course, are the people of the Longhouse, the Iroquois Confederacy here in New York State. And they actually had women's rights within their tribes and their nations long before the United States did. It was the women, the elders, who actually voted on who was going to be the chief in the nation. So they were doing this for centuries before we were doing it. And she's going to discuss this and how they were instrumental and influential in the United States women's rights movement.
Mm-hmm. And she's a really good speaker.
Yes, she is. She's very good and humorous, too.
Yeah.
So, and then on November 10th, which is also a Tuesday at 2 p.m. We are going to have Deborah Holler, and she's the professor emeritus at Empire State College, and she's going to be talking about Belva Lockwood and Caroline Parker Mount Pleasant, who was also, I believe she was Tuscarora.
Mm. Yeah, but her husband was.
Her husband was? Yeah. Okay. She may have been Seneca.
Yeah,
I should have written this down.
L.A. Parker's sister.
Sister. So,
she
would have
was
been
Seneca.
She was Seneca, and she married Mount Pleasant, who was Tuscarora.
Right, that's so. Right. Because they can't.
And she was also involved in the women's rights movement, and she was friends with Belva Lockwood. And so Deborah Holler is going to be speaking about that. And then on November 19th, which would be a Thursday at 2 p.m., we're going to have Lillian Williams. And Lillian Williams is the associate professor, the Department of Transnational Studies at the University of Buffalo. And she is going to be talking about African-American women and the women's suffrage movement. Because African-American women in the early years of the suffrage movement, they were included in many of the national organizations, but unfortunately later on, some of the suffrage movements, some of the organizations excluded African-American women, and so they set up their own organizations. And so she's going to be discussing their involvement and the importance of African-American women in the suffrage movement. Then on December 8th, which I'm not sure what day of the week that is, there's going to be a presentation on the suffrage movement in New York State, so specifically New York State, and this is going to be by Susan Goodyear, who is the assistant professor of history at SUNY Oneonta, and Karen Pastorello, who is the professor of history and women and gender studies at Tompkins Cortland Community College. So they're going to be talking about the suffrage movement in New York State. And the final program that we're going to have is by a local person, Mary Brennan Taylor, who recently had an exhibit at the Keenan Center on Alice Paul. And her talk is going to be on December 17th at 2 o'clock. And the title is, It Only Takes One Woman to Start a Revolution, Alice Strokes Paul and the American Women's Suffrage Movement. And I'm sure that she will be touching on a lot of, what was in her exhibit here. And it's nice that we do have a local speaker who's going to be talking for our series on Belleville Lockwood.
Also, Alice Paul was featured a lot on WNED did a documentary on suffrage, and Alice Paul really played into, I think it was two or three parts, I watched it, but her name was mentioned again and again and again, and actually Mary Brennan Taylor actually met her.
And interviewed her,
and so it really should be interesting.
Okay, let's have a topic for today if we're all done with our activities.
We forgot one thing. If
one
people
thing.
Do
oh,
want to
right.
Participate so that they can watch these or see these programs, they need to send an email to us at info@niagarahistory.org and put Zoom program as the title so that we can send them the passcode that they would need to get in so that they could see it.
Okay. Now we're ready to roll. Topic today should be a good one.
Okay. Well, I hope people call in.
And that number is 433-1433, so you can anticipate what a topic might be. 433-1433.
Okay. So our topic is Meet Me at the Market. We're going to talk about local farm markets. But the first documented farm market, according to the USDA, was back in 1730 in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they said for decades that they have had the phrase, meet me at the market in Lancaster, so that people will remember to go to farm markets. But in 1730, the city planners designed the city and designated a 120-square-foot lot in the center of town as a public marketplace, giving birth to the Lancaster Central Market. And I'm sure they may have been the first, but it happened all over the country. And so as people got their farms up and going, and they started to take stuff to market every week. People got used to the concept of being able to buy really fresh produce directly from the farmers themselves. And we're trying to get back to that movement today with the farm table movement, which is going not only from people's homes, but restaurants are trying to do that and get back to this movement of that you don't have to ship stuff from all over the world because there's a lot of good food locally to be had. So that's one of the things with farm markets. So according to the research I did, in September at farm markets, there should be apples and beans and broccoli and Brussels sprouts, not my favorite, cabbage, carrots. We grew Brussels sprouts for a year, and those things don't die. I finally went out in December, and I ripped them out. I was so sick of watching Brussels sprouts. But anyway, carrots, corn, eggplant, flowers, grapes, herbs, pears, peppers, plums, potatoes, pumpkins, raspberries, tomatoes, and winter squash. So there's a lot to pick from. And then, of course, in October, you pick up cauliflower and winter squash again and pumpkins, which, of course, are a big seller this month. So there's a lot to offer. And actually, what I did was I called some of the farm markets yesterday, and I actually found out that at Wagner's, they still have sweet corn. And so I thought that was amazing. I didn't realize that you could still have sweet corn this late into the season. So we'll start with Wagner's. It's an open air. They now have a building where they have a little restaurant. But they started in 1967, 52 years ago. And I talked to the daughter, and their mom and dad started the business at that point. And now the son and daughter run it, and they have already designated a son, a grandson of the original owners, who is going to run it after they retire. So they plan on continuing on. And, of course, Wagner's is on what road? Is it on Dysinger? No, on Robinson?
Yeah, I'm from the western side of the county.
Yeah, so let's see. Well, I should have it on this map. So somebody from Wagner's, feel free to call in and tell me exactly where you are. Well, it's near Walmore, and it's in Pekin.
Oh, it's in Pekin? Okay.
So,
well, then I should know that.
Okay.
Oh, I know where it is. It's, yeah, it's on Lockport Road.
Lockport Road.
There
right.
you go.
On
yeah,
Lockport
okay.
Road, just past Shawnee Road, on the, it would be south side of the road.
Yeah, I know now which one you're talking yes. about. I guess I didn't know what the name of it was, but I know
it
what
it didn't ring
you're
a bell
about.
When
yeah.
you said Wagner's Farm Market because yeah. they have a nice restaurant.
Yeah, they do. I've eaten at a restaurant.
And
yeah.
they have, take their food also, so and they have great roast beef there, and the lady goes in early in the morning. They have a secret way they fix the roast beef, and a great place to go.
Yeah. They also, now this is cider time, so of course a lot of the farm markets do their own cider. I know Hall's do their own cider, and so, you know, that's a really good thing that you can stop and get at this time of year. When I spoke to the Wagner family member yesterday, unfortunately I didn't get her first name, she was telling me that their business is way up. And so when I talked to all the other farm markets, I asked them too, and I didn't realize that all of them have had an increase in their business because people are less apt to go into a grocery store. So they're going to the farm markets because they're open air and you can, you know, just have your mask on and you can pick the things. And so I think that's great that, you know, when unfortunately it's bad for some people, but it's good for others. So
yeah.
And the main thing is it's fresh food.
It's very
There's
fresh.
No preservatives. You don't know. Yeah. You don't have to worry how long it was on the counter because it goes today and then tomorrow they put more fresh.
Right. So, I mean, that's one of the best things about farm markets and also about, you know, the markets like the Lockport Market and the North Tonawanda Market and ones in the area where they do it on Saturdays and you can come and you know, and they bring everything that's fresh because they want you to buy it. They want you to come back the next week and buy it again. So I also talked to somebody in the Harris family, and Harris's is down on
104. I just drove by it the other day. That's why I remembered that.
So. You can tell where I get my directions from when I get lost.
Well, we know one thing that Melissa's going to get for Christmas. I'll talk to her boys, and she needs a GPS for sure.
Well, fortunately, I have one on my phone. But Harris's, they have, and they've really expanded over the years. I remember when they were just like a little wooden stand, and now they have the big building. But it's still outside, and they still have sweet corn. They have sweet corn early. They have it by the 4th of July. And they also have some products from the Amish, some baked goods from the Amish. And that was another thing. Almost all of these farm markets now have really good baked goods. If you're looking for really fresh baked pies and fresh baked everything. And, of course, Hall's has always had the pies and everything. But so Harris's has a large variety of things because that's on the way to my cottage, so I stop there a lot. Becker Farms, I talked to Mindy Viscara yesterday, and the family got the land in 1894, and they started with a small U-pick business in 1979, 41 years ago. And then they've expanded over the years. And, of course, they started with wine in 2004. And then they started with the brewery in 2009. In 2010, they decided they were going to do weddings, probably because they already had the wine and beer. Hey, why not? But that stayed in the family all those years. And all three of she and Oscar's children are running different aspects of the building, of the business. So Oscar Jr. does CSA. Now let me think of what that was again. Amanda does the weddings. And so Andres does the beer and wine. So that's another family business that's going on. And, of course, you know, they've got the U-pick. And my problem with that business is they have fudge. I can't stop often because they have fudge. So that's another one.
Okay, let's take our first break today. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. You are listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
Every day on average, NFTA Metro's buses and trains travel 33,000 miles, and that's through sun, rain, ice, or snow. Those miles are between your home and your job, your school, your doctor or grocery store, important places, which makes driving those miles an important job. If you've ever thought about a career that helps keep this community working, learning, and healthy, now's the time. Metro will help you get your commercial driver's license and prepare you for a profession that's solid and rewarding, something you can feel good about. But Metro's not just looking for people to get behind the wheel. Metro is looking for the mechanically inclined, too. Keeping buses and trains safe, clean, and reliable is the responsibility of dedicated technicians, fuelers, and cleaners. With highly competitive wages, pensions, medical benefits, and retirement programs, it's time to visit NFTA.com. There is a new career waiting for you.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. Melissa Dunlap, the Executive Director of Niagara County History Center, and her assistant, Anne Marie Linneberry. Today we are talking about farm markets. I'm going to tell my little story later on. It's not exactly farm market, but at that time it was called a farm market. We had it in Lockport when I was a kid, and I used to work there, and we'll tell you why. Okay, go ahead.
The farm markets that are sort of in the area where I live. Tom Towers, which is on the Youngstown-Lockport Road, just outside of Youngstown, that farm, in fact, the whole Tower family, they were some of the very first settlers that came into that area in the town of Porter 200 years ago, plus, probably 200 plus years ago. And so they had several farms, actually, going on for decades. But the Tower Farm Market, again, just outside of Youngstown, and that farm that Tom is on is almost 200 years old. And they open every year, and they're not only known for their fruit and their vegetables and their produce, but they also have cats. So
and that was on their website.
Yes.
Come see their cats.
When my daughter was young, that was one of the things that we very often did was we'd go to Tom Towers Farm Market so she could visit the cats. So that was, and Apparently, they're still there. Probably not the same ones, but, you know.
Well, I know where I'll be headed this afternoon because the wife is the cat lady. And
oh, okay. There you go. There you go. A couple of other farm markets in that area is Sanger's. Sanger's Apple Farm, which is just up the road from Towers. That also has been there for, I'm not exactly sure how long, but for decades anyway. And they're known for their cider slushies. They have cider slushies. So that's another thing my daughter likes. So now she goes for cider slushies at
Sanger's. My daughter-in-law would love it.
and they also have very good cookies as well. And then the Henry Farm Farm Market, which is on Creek Road near Balmer. And I believe that they told me that their farm started in about 1908. So, and they're still going strong. And they have all kinds of things there. You know, they start very early in the season and go right up through the fall, as most of those, most of these do. And then on Route 93, again, Lockport-Youngstown Road, right near Dickersonville Road, is the Baker Farm Market. And they have, well, I don't know what they're doing this year because of COVID, but in the past, they always had a big farm festival where they would have the bounce houses for the kids. They had hay rides. They had all kinds of activities. You know, they have you pick it. But the Bakers, like the Towers, are another family that have been in the town of Porter for since probably close to 200 years, just like the Towers. So a lot of these farm markets have been in families for not only decades, but even centuries.
433-1433, if you have any questions, any comments about farm markets, or what is your favorite farm market?
Yeah. And I know the Hall Apple Farm was a century farm, too, quite a while ago. So it's been there
For a long time.
For a long time. Okay, so we also have Hiller's Farm Market, and that's out in Newfane, getting close to the lake. And that was opened in 1950. It started with, I talked to one of the relatives, and it started with a card table by the grandfather out on his front lawn. And that's not unusual. That's how a lot of things start. And they actually specialize in hard-to-find vegetables and heirloom vegetables. And then they have really expensive tomatoes, he told me, from all over the world. He said they get them from Italy and Greece and all over because they're heirloom seeds and really, if you want, unique vegetables. And of course, they have a lot of regular vegetables, too, but they really specialize in hard-to-find and unique vegetables, which I thought was interesting.
Yes, that's my wife's favorite place down there. We always take a run down the Hillers, once a week, and she stocks up on the vegetables and ready to go.
And most of these markets, when I spoke to them, are open until Thanksgiving. So that's good. You can get your squash and things that you need for your Thanksgiving dinner from these good farm markets, which is great. So there's La Rosa's Farm Market, and that's in Wilson, and Fleckenstein Farms, which I'm not familiar with, but I'm sure that that's got a great one. There's Bill and Gary Kidd's Farm Market, and if you use these farm markets or have anything to say, please feel free to call in and tell us, because, you know, obviously I don't get into that side of the county much, so... And Anne-Marie knows more, but, you know, we're interested in what you have to say. Schwab's Farm Market, that's another one that's on 31. And I know that they have fresh vegetables and fruit, and they also do pies. Then you even have Goodman's Market that's near, that's in Wheatfield. And I think when you're going towards... crossing into Erie County, right at Niagara County Produce, which is right around the county line. And I can remember when Niagara County Produce was not a huge modern facility, you know, when they kept adding on. Remember, they had all those garage doors, and the garage doors used to be open, and they just kept expanding. So it's pretty slick now, but it started small. But if you go a little bit further from Niagara Produce, there's the Batting Brothers. And I know that they get their cider from Hall's. So they have stuff. And they also, I think, have some landscaping things in addition to farm items. North Tonawanda has a farmer's market every Saturday, and that's a pretty good one. And then two of the bigger ones still going down transit would be Ken Spoth's farm market and Greg Zupik farm market. Now, I don't know about this year, but we used to always go out on Route 18, and there was a Zupik for blueberries. It originally was property that was owned by Gerber, and so for their baby food, and then it was sold to Russell's, and then Russell's would let you go. They would have professional pickers in the back, but then in the front, you know, you could just come and pick blueberries yourself, and then they had blueberry honey, which was really, really good. So that was one of my favorites, but unfortunately this year I hardly went out there, so I don't know if they were open this year or not, and they may not have been. And then in Lockport, the community market, this year they moved it because of COVID, and they put it on the other side of the canal. And the reason they did that is normally when the vendors come for the community market in Lockport, we normally have volunteers that help them unload their cars and set everything up, because then they move the cars to another location so they don't fill that parking lot. But because of COVID, they couldn't have the volunteers assist. So they put them on the other side of the canal, and then what they did was they parked their cars in between each stand, and that created the 6 feet that you needed to be separated. But it eliminated a lot of vendors, and I don't think as many people saw it this time. So as soon as this is over, then they can move back to their normal location, and then you can get ice cream at the same time, so because that's important too.
Well, back when I was a kid, the farm market for Lockport was on Chestnut Street, on Chestnut and Spring, and that was was packed with farmers. My uncle was a farmer in Wilson, and next to him was Mr. Cole, who used to sell potatoes. That's all he had. He had a whole truck full of potatoes.
Okay.
And one day my uncle says, Mr. Cole needs some help. So I ended up working the summer and fall for Mr. Cole selling his potatoes.
Well, there you go.
And I said, that was a blast and a half. You know, back then I made 50 cents an hour for 3 hours in the afternoon. That was enough to go buy a PepsiCo, you know.
Hey.
And but that market was really a booming market back in those days.
Yeah. There was a market years ago on the corner of Washburn and Chestnut.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a photo of it. It was on Poole's property, but now we're going really way back. I did read that they still have list the market that's by Molinaro's, you know, and sometimes there are people there.
And most I've seen is like three or four trucks.
Yeah, okay. That's right, three or four trucks.
Right.
Yeah. But it's still listed as a farm market when I was looking yesterday. So, you know, there is a real, it's good to get things fresh. And I picked up one thing that says tips for shopping at farm markets. And of course it was bring your own bags, have cash in small denominations. You'll be out for a while, so bring a cooler to keep produce so it can be refrigerated. It said, walk through the entire market before making purchases. Compare price, quality, and selection. Arrive early for best selection. If you plan on purchasing bulk produce for freezing or canning, come early or place an order in advance. It says, visit different markets for the widest selection. And that was another thing is when I was talking to, that's what that CSA is. It took me a minute to think of what it was with Becker Farms. Is that people can buy farm shares now. And I know that Becker's does that, and they work with other farms and markets in the county, and also the one with Bree. I'm trying to think. Bree and Richard used to be Josie Woodbridge's farm.
Well, while Melissa's trying to think of the names, we'll take our second break today, ladies. You're listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM is Niagara County's information station. Now, proud to partner with Fox News. Get the latest updates every hour on the hour from America's top news network, Fox News Radio. Always up-to-date information every hour, every day. The exclusive home for Fox News Radio in Western New York is Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM. WLVL Lockport. Streaming live worldwide at WLVL.com and on your smart devices and speakers.
Are you a business owner and want to get the word out that you're back in business? Let WLVL help spread the word. Consider advertising with us. Think you can't afford to advertise on the radio? Think again. We've got lots of affordable packages to choose from, and our experienced team of marketing specialists will help you find the right solution for you. WLVL serves a dedicated and loyal audience in Niagara County, and we're a locally owned business just like you. To learn more, call 433-5944 and ask to speak to an account executive today, or visit WLVL.com and click advertise.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
You have to ask yourself, if you really believe in the Biden-Bernie, Bolshevik-Bernie manifesto of pure socialism, you got to ask yourself, well, where did it work in history? Well, it didn't work in China, Mao. Tens of millions of people starved to death. The former Soviet Union, they needed wheat from us because of the poverty, because nobody, if you guaranteed everything, felt like working anymore.
The Sean Hannity Show, live weekdays 3 to 6 on WLVL.
COVID-19 is a severe lung infection. Trust the American Lung Association for science-based public health information, especially for the 36 million Americans who live with lung disease. We have resources to protect your lung health. Access expertise from medical professionals and peer-to-peer support through our online communities. Visit lung.org for daily updates or call 1-800-LUNG-USA.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. Norm Palmer here, working the buttons this morning. And in the studio, the Executive Director, Melissa Dunlap, her assistant, Anne-Marie Linneberry, and you folks, 433-1433, if you'd like to talk about your favorite farm market. Okay, Melissa?
But anyway, these farm shares, and a couple of my daughter-in-laws do them, they purchase a share. And sometimes they split a share because you get a lot of produce. And then you go once a week to the farm and you pick up whatever they've harvested that week. And it's been interesting because they've had to look up some of the vegetables because, there are things that, like Swiss chard and newer things. Or at least there's new things in grocery stores to me. I don't know. But it's been in tomatoes and things like that I've never seen before, which I thought were really good. But it's new vegetables, and so then you make soups and stews and, roast them and all sorts of things. So it's an opportunity to get really fresh vegetables and to learn something new. And that's kind of a bigger thing now, is having these farm market shares. So, and you can split them because I have four daughter-in-laws, and they have two shares, and each have a half. So that works out well. Otherwise, you have a lot of vegetables to eat. So farming is becoming, and somebody told me that Future Farmers of America is coming back, which is good because that's a great organization for high school students that are working on farms. And also, there's a lot of farmers who really get a really good education at Cornell and other universities, and because so much of farming now involves computers and science, and I mean, it's really sophisticated. It's not just you're putting the seeds in the ground and walking away at all anymore. And it's still very hard work. We have a friend, Karen Sherwood, who helps work a farm, and I'll tell you, that girl works from morning until night, and I know dairy farmers do. They're pretty well tied to their farms because they have to be there to do the milking. And I don't think we give farmers enough credit for all the good food and milk and everything else they produce for us in this county. And it goes beyond this county, obviously, with shipping and everything else, especially because we're in the fruit belt and we produce so many peaches and grapes and apples, and with the moderate temperatures along below the escarpment along the lake that created the fruit belt. So we're really very, very fortunate to live here and to be able to get such good fresh food and everything, and really say thank you to the farmers, because they're doing a great job and they're working really hard for everybody.
And most of the farm markets that you talked about started in the 40s or the 50s, and they're still going strong today.
Right. And the families pass from one generation to another, and that's a great thing also. Anne-Marie was going to talk a little bit.
Well, I know in Lockport there are the small neighborhood gardens where, like, I know there's one right near the Historical Society at the corner of Holly and Ontario Street, where I think there had been a house there at one time, and mm-hmm. now it's been fenced in, and people can go, and I'm not exactly sure how they determine who gets what plot. But people can plant flowers, they can plant fruit, vegetables, primarily probably vegetables in there, for their own use. And so there's a couple of different parks like that right in the city of Lockport. So it's not only out in the more rural areas that you find this, you find it right here in the city as well. So. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that you know, we have in our collection at the Historical Society photos of some of the older farm markets that aren't there anymore. There were a lot of them along South Transit Road. We have one up photo of, I think it was called the Ham-Gregory farm stand. So if there were farm stands that you know of that weren't there anymore, and especially if you have a photograph of them, that would be something that we would be interested in, too, because it's a part of our history here in Niagara County. So, and we know at one time, before there was so much development here, that there were a lot more of the farmers markets than there are even now.
Yeah. And how can the people get a hold of you in case they have some information or some questions?
Well, they can call us at 434-7433. Or you can email, as Melissa said earlier, the email address is info@niagarahistory.org.
Niagara with three A's.
Yes.
since
a lot of people.
Yeah. Since Viagra, we're having an issue.
They
with,
forget the middle A.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's an issue because then we don't get the email.
Yeah.
You know, so I know when. Somebody says they sent me an email and I didn't get it. I know that that's the problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really was hoping some people would call in. But this is a time of year when people want to take a ride. I mean, the weather is beautiful. The trees are beautiful. They could go out and they could get some cider or pick up some apples and go home and make apple pie. But this is really the time for people to get out and visit these farm markets and give them a little business. And you're outside, and most of these markets are outside, so you're not really in a lot of danger. And if you've got your mask on and you're keeping your hands clean, then I think you're in pretty good shape.
And most of the farm markets have plenty of parking.
Yes.
Off the main highway, so you can pull in and spend as much time as you need there picking out your vegetables.
Yeah, so.
And they taste so much better than what you get in the supermarket.
Yeah.
So.
And
yeah.
And one point was brought up to me that there was a lot of fruits and vegetables that go to waste in the big box stores because they can't have a blemish on them. And some of the vegetables and fruits in farm markets, they have blemishes or bruises or whatever, and they taste better than the ones that are polished up in the stores.
Yeah. In fact, I think they even have a service now that people can get those kind of outcast vegetables, the ones that aren't quite perfect.
Yeah.
And they'll send them to your house. But, you know, and that's, and I don't know how we got into that everything had to be perfect. You know, because, I mean, they dye the oranges so that they're a perfect orange and, you know, I don't know. I don't know how we got into that.
Well, the thing I like best about the farm markets is you watch them working during the day. No matter what time you're pulling in, the cart comes in from the field, and here's some fresh vegetables and fruits and whatever they have in their fields, brings it right in, and they put it on the shelves.
Yeah,
so you know it's fresh.
Yep, it really is. So that's a great way to do it. Well, Anne-Marie can talk a little bit about her programs again, and we hope that people will take it to heart and go visit some of these markets that we
have. We have about 5 minutes left, okay. Ladies, so I'll make sure we get all our recap in.
Okay, well, just again, a reminder that we're going to be having an exhibit on Belleville Lockwood. I don't know if we don't have an opening date yet for that. No, okay. But in conjunction with the exhibit, we are having a series of programs about Belleville Lockwood and the women's rights movement, women's suffrage movement. And next week on Tuesday, October 20th at 2 o'clock, Sally Rosh Wagner, who again is the executive director of the Matilda Gage Foundation. And just as an aside, Matilda Gage was the mother-in-law of L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And so they not only, if you go down to Chittenango, you can visit the Matilda Gage Foundation house, but they also have a lot of Wizard of Oz things down in that area because that's where he was from. So we've been down there a couple of times, especially when my daughter was little. So, and she, Sally Rosh Wagner is going to be speaking on the Haudenosaunee and the women's rights movement and explain how the women of the Six Nations or the Iroquois Confederacy, how they were influential in
they're setting up the
framework.
Yeah, the framework
for the women's rights movement.
Because they were a matrilineal society.
And they were the ones that they chose the chiefs. They had a lot of influence and power within the nation at a time when women, you know, here in the United States and elsewhere in the world had very little power or say in anything. So that will be on October 20th at 2 o'clock. And again, if you are interested in seeing that program on Zoom, please send us an email at info@niagarahistory.org, and we will send you the link for that or the password.
Put Zoom meeting in the title.
Yes, put Zoom meeting in the title. And then on November 10th at 2 o'clock, Deborah Holler will be, and she's the professor emeritus at Empire State College, and she will be talking about Belleville Lockwood and her friendship with Carolyn Parker Mount Pleasant. Then on November 19th, Lillian Williams, who's the associate professor, Department of Transnational Studies at the University of Buffalo, will be talking about African-American women and the suffrage movement. Then on November 19th, that was Lillian Williams. I'm sorry, Lillian Williams, November 19th. I'm getting a little confused here. On December 8th, there's going to be a program on the suffrage movement in New York State. And that's going to be by Susan Goodyear, Assistant Professor of History at SUNY Oneonta, and Karen Pastorello, who's Professor of History and Women's and Gender Studies at Tompkins Cortland Community College. So they'll be discussing the women's rights movement in New York State. And then finally, on December 17th, one of our own local Lockport people, Mary Brennan Taylor, will be discussing It Only Takes One Woman to Start a Revolution, Alice Stokes Paul and the American Women's Suffrage Movement.
And if you would remind all of your friends, our history show have moved from 11 to 10 to be continuing with the other Ask the Pros across the network. So, closing thoughts, Melissa, we have a minute.
Thank you for having us. And it's just really, you know, I know you probably wonder how we choose these topics, but we try to think of something different. And if there really is a topic that you think we aren't covering, you can send us an email at the info@niagarahistory.org. Sometimes we have something ahead. I mean, we've already talked about what we're going to do in November. But sometimes, you know, we're busy and all of a sudden it's upon us that we have a radio show and we need a subject. So, people need to call in.
Norm Palmer saying good morning for Melissa Dunlap, Anne Marie Linneberry, on Niagara County's Great History Show, 1340 AM, 105.3 FM, Lockport, New York.